This is On Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusea in for Celeste Headlee. Visual artist Ayanna Jackson likes to say that she fights photography with photography. She uses her lens to explore how images shape and construct African and African-American identities. Her images will be on display as part of the exhibit Africa Forecast, Fashioning Contemporary Life at the Spelman College Museum of Fine Arts in Atlanta. That opens today. She's also a Spelman grad. Ayanna Jackson, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
So it's tough to do photography on the radio, but I wonder if you couldn't pick an image that you think is a good introduction to your work and describe it for people.
Well, I guess it stands to reason that I would describe one of the works that's in the show. Mm-hmm. The works that I'm showing, there are two pieces from a series called Dear Sarah. That that series is an homage to a woman named Sarah Forbes Bonetta, a Dahomey West African woman who was essentially given as a gift to the Queen Victoria in the late 19th century. And the reason that I decided to pay homage to her is because she's one of the few early Victorian black women that was photographed, because Queen Victoria had a penchant for photography itself and had her photographed many times. It's a quite long story, but the essence of it is that as she was a black woman, African woman, who was raised as the goddaughter of Queen Victoria. But because she was essentially part of a transaction between the Queen and the Dahomey King at the time during Queen Victoria's kind of moment of trying to dismantle the slave trade after the nation had already participated in it for several centuries. But as we know, England led a big proportion of the abolitionist movement. She adopted this young girl, but the thing is, she was this inanimate object. And so I sought to animate her through photography. So the two or three images of Sarah Forbes Bonetta are very stoic, very poised, very kind of inanimate. And so in these two works, I have her dancing, twirling in her wedding dress that was given to her by Queen Victoria.
And how did you do that? She's no longer around to photograph.
Well, a lot of my work appropriates images from the history of photography. So one thing that I think is important to acknowledge is that the birth of photography, which is the mid-19th century, is exactly at the same time as the colonial experiment. So the scramble for Africa by, like, you know, Western European countries. And so as this technology is becoming a part of or an appendage to these kind of movements, this appendage is being activated in spaces like Sub-Saharan Africa, Latin America, and mm-hmm. the Global South. And so, you know, for me, I think it's important to revisit those images, become literate in what they're saying, what they're communicating. And so even though she's no longer around, I choose to animate her and to activate her and to add depth and dimension to her narrative.
And you have a whole series of photos that you do where you recreate historical photographs, old daguerreotypes kind of things, some of them of your own ancestors, with yourself as model. In fact, you use yourself as model very, very frequently. Is that what you've done in this case?
Yes, I have. Absolutely. I mean, you know, the thing is, I come from a family, you know, I call ourselves up from slavery, but I also call ourselves founding fathers, because there are few communities in the United States that have been around as long as its, between quotes, founding.
Sure, yeah.
And so one of the things that, you know, I found in my family home were photographs from the late 19th century, photographs of my great-grandmother, Katie Clark Jackson, who gave birth to my grandfather in 1912, who herself was born in the 1890s, and who herself was also born to an enslaved black woman in the United States. And her portrait is situated in the Victorian kind of moment, you know, and so I felt that it was important for us to take some of these photographs from our private collections and bring them into the public, because much of the imagery that surrounds the black body, the African body, and the archive is taken from a moment of this kind of historical research that is, as I mentioned, related to the colonial experiment. And so how we've been taught to see the black body, how we've been taught to see the African body, has a lot to do with the political, the geopolitical kind of moments. But that does not... but we must remember that there are other moments when people of African descent, with their own agency, stepped into the portrait booth and created their own narratives and saw themselves, wanted to see themselves as they saw themselves. So my work, my archival impulse, which is this title of the series that you mentioned, where I begin to recreate images from the archive, these old daguerreotypes, my particular impulse is to take those things out of the private and bring them to the public, to mix up what we understand in the collective image bank that is photography about
and
the
to bring
body.
Them into the present, right, through your own body.
Absolutely.
You are the present embodiment of your family line.
Absolutely. Yeah.
My guest is visual artist Ayanna Jackson. Her images are going to be on display as part of the exhibit Africa Forecast, Fashion and Contemporary Life at the Spelman College Museum of Fine Arts. And Ayanna, you did graduate from Spelman. You have family roots in Georgia, but you don't live here anymore. You live in South Africa, right?
I do. I live in Johannesburg.
Why did you make that choice?
Many reasons. The primary reason is actually that it made sense professionally. It's kind of a disconnect for many people to consider, you know, a U.S. American moving to Africa for opportunity, because the prevailing narrative is the other way around. But actually, there's a lot of infrastructure for photography, for fine art, in that place. And then beyond that, it's a minefield of things and inspiration for me. I mean, Johannesburg is a city that, as we all know, is busy becoming who it wants to be and what it wants to be. You know, it's coming out of a very disturbing history, and it has a very bright future ahead. But in this particular moment, it's fighting the tensions of tradition and modernity, of past and present. And so as an artist, I find it fascinating. Another layer to that, of course, is that I come from a family that absolutely, you know, my great-grandfather was a follower of Marcus Garvey. So I essentially come from a Garveyite family that absolutely, in a Black Star Line way, looked towards the continent as part of our conversation, our lineage, and our ancestry and our narrative. But Johannesburg specifically was more of a professional decision, and the continent of Africa was more of a family decision.
Right. Speaking of your family, I want to let people know that these images that we've been talking about, these photographs where you have recreated historical photographs of your own family using yourself as model, the phenomenal New York Times photography blog The Lens did a feature about you, and a lot of those images are reproduced there, and you could go ahead and find that right now. Again, the guest name is Ayanna Jackson. She's a photographer who has an exhibit, as part of an exhibit at Spelman College, and you can find some of her work collected by the New York Times blog The Lens. There's a photo, I think, from the same series that is going to be in the Spelman exhibit called "Does the Brown Paper Bag Test Really Exist? / Will My Father Be Proud?" Can you tell us about that?
Yes. That particular work is, it takes, as you mentioned earlier, I've been recreating photographs that actually exist. And as a Spelman grad, I've obviously spent time wandering the halls and the archives of our institution, which was founded in 1881. And is named for Laura Spelman Rockefeller. Mm-hmm. And so there are
And I should say that the Spelman Museum is the only museum in the country that emphasizes art by and about women of the African diaspora. It's a pretty special place.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for saying that. I can't even begin to discuss how proud I am to return to these corridors and to be displayed on the walls of that museum, which was inaugurated during my tenure as a student, during my period as a student there. But that particular photograph is based on one of the early graduating classes at Spelman. The title is, and so in that, for the listeners, in that photograph, I represent each of the, I think there are about five or six women in that photograph. So I replicate all of them. I'm dressed in Victorian, in the clothing of, well, it is Victorian era, the clothing of the period. So you have this kind of corseted waists and these bellowing shoulders and very high collars and different hairstyles, natural hair, but that's been kind of tied in buns and women sitting on the floor and women sitting in chairs. But the title is called Does the Brown Paper Bag Test Really Exist? And what's interesting about Spelman's legacy as a school for women of color is that that for many years, in a very between, quote, dark period, one had to be lighter than a brown paper bag to be able to attend Spelman College. It was only photographically, if you look at the archive, it was much later before you started to see women that were my complexion and darker in mass at the school. So one thing that, not to really like go there and derail my alma mater, but in thinking about that notion of the brown paper bag test that existed all over the South, which absolutely had to do with one's age, one's ability and one's mobility, rather, socially and economically. How does an African descendant of the slave trade become lighter than a brown paper bag? Well, it has to do with the mixing. How often, not that there were not unions of love, which I think deserve their moment in history, but there was also a significant amount of sexual abuse and rape. Sure. And so the reason that it has these two titles, Does the Brown Paper Bag Test Really Exist? And Will My Father Be Proud? Is wondering if these young girls, you know, I guess to back up, the reason it has two titles is one is in the imagined voice of the photographer, does it exist? And the second title is in the imagined voice of the sitter, Will My Father Be Proud? So these young girls are wondering if their father is acknowledging this incredible achievement of having been able to graduate from university in 1881.
Wow. Ayanna Jackson is a visual artist. Her images are going to be on display as part of the exhibit Africa Forecast, Fashion and Contemporary Life at the Spelman College Museum of Fine Arts in celebration of the museum's 20th anniversary. Ayanna, you have a very, very striking, very disturbing, very powerful image that's part of your portfolio in which you are again the subject, and you are nude, and you've been lynched. Tell us about this.
That work is titled Death, and it comes. It's one of the last works that I made in a series called Poverty Pornography that addressed the prevalence of images of death, disaster, disease, and destruction with regard to the black body, whether it's African or diaspora. Again, as it was mentioned in the introduction, I've decided to address and or fight photography with photography. When I came across the photographs that perhaps some of your listeners are familiar with, of lynchings. I mean, there was a period in the after the turn of the century and into the 30s where one could not only attend a public lynching of black bodies, predominantly male bodies, but there were women as well, but they could be photographed in attendance, and then that photograph would be made or could be made into a postcard, which could then be mailed around. And there was an exhibition not long ago of these postcards. So it's not as rare or as unknown as one would think. And so I was quite disturbed by the fact that this kind of imagery was not only encapsulated in an image, in a piece of paper as a document, but also became a piece of publicity. So that series where I am basically trying to, where I recreate the lynching as a nude woman, it has to do with, I wanted to create a metaphor for the seductive and repulsive nature of that kind of imagery. So with with nudity, for those of us who come, you know, I was raised Catholic, and so for those of us who come from a Judeo-Christian narrative, we have a very kind of bizarre relationship to nudity, right? It's like we want to see, but we don't want to see. We have the Adam and the Eve story where Adam and Eve are shamed into putting clothes on. So this kind of tension is very prevalent, and it's and has existed through the centuries, right? And so for me, images of death and disaster and disease and you kind of Sally Struthers, for those of us who remember the 80s,
well-meaning white people like me going to Africa and taking pictures of deprivation and poverty with the best of intentions,
but ultimately those
images can be problematic in the same way that a more malicious image like a celebratory photo of a lynching can be.
Precisely. And so, but the thing is, for me, you know, at the same time that this is happening in my family, for instance, in a slight tangent, but I'll come back very quickly, you know.
We have 1 minute, I should
in
say.
My family, we have a house in Ghana, and so our Ghanaian cousins would come, and you know my Uncle Simone would come dressed in his like normal outfits of the 90s, and so there was this kind of, I didn't understand why all I knew from the television was swollen belly children with flies around their eyes, yet there's this, you know, contemporary Black African man that's in my house. So, but why wasn't that something that I was privy to? So, and I felt that maybe it had to do with the fact that these other images are more seductive. Much like pornography, it's like we would rather see what's illicit and what separates us, or maybe even reaffirms our, what's the word? 32 seconds, our contemporaneity, our kind of Western civilized, between quotes, self, from that. So there's this almost gratification from being able to look at someone else's deprivation. And that seduction and repulsion, that tension, is what I want to replicate.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'm so sorry. Ayana Jackson is a photographer. She's part of the exhibit Africa Forecast, Fashion and Contemporary Life at the Spelman College Museum of Fine Arts. Please go see it. And we have photos at gpbnews.org. It's on Second Thought.